dropping like flies, I think. I think it's the sunshine that's keeping everybody away. We are getting to that time in our Woman to Woman calendar. We're coming to the end of season two of 2023. And we're certainly getting through the year. It's gone so quickly. And it was lovely just listening to Susan there as she just recapped some of our highlights from this year. It was just lovely. And as I sat there, I thought, that's why I'm tired. That's exactly why we're tired. Because we've done all of that. But we've done it all in His name and for His glory. And wonderful news from the fundraiser on Saturday. Can I just reiterate what Susan has shared tonight? We're so grateful to you all. Okay, even if you didn't come, but you stayed at home and had other things to do and you prayed for it, that's really incredibly important as well. So we're so thankful to you all. We're looking forward to our next big event, Pop Peace Over Panic, which is taking place on the 2nd of September. We can't wait for that. But we're going to have a wee break over summer, and we're looking forward to that. May this weather hold out for us all. And my prayer, because this is what the Lord, I'm digressing already, but this is what the Lord deposited into my heart, in particular for my congregation here at Mosvale, but it extends to all the Women to Women ladies as well. Because when I'm praying, it's for Women to Women, it's for Mosvale, it's for the community. And the Lord, the word that He deposited into my heart was that we would all have Salah moments this summer. That we would have spirit-soaked, was the phrase He gave me, spirit-soaked Salah summer. There you go, four S's. Spirit-soaked Salah summer. Actually, love what He's given me so much, I think I should actually preach on it. But anyway, those moments where you can pause and you can take a breath and you can rest and you can praise. And that's my prayer for all of you and for myself. So let's just continue to receive that for all of us for this summer. So next week we're going to do something a wee bit different as we review our two seasons so far in 2023. But let's recap where we've been. Well, we are a Women of Vision, are we not? Yes, we are. We're a Women of Vision. And every year at Women to Women, we are led by vision. And this year we're looking at that great cloud of witnesses that surround us. Those that have gone on to glory, gone ahead of us, ran their race in heaven, cheering us on, encouraging us, inspiring us to continue to run our race. And many of those heroes, biblical heroes, are listed in the book of Hebrews chapter 11, also known as the Hall of Faith. And in this first season of 2023, we looked at Abraham, thank you Lisa, a friend of God. He is one of those heroes that's actually mentioned in the Hall of Faith. And he's also mentioned in other parts of Scripture too. Then we moved on from Abraham into season two after Easter, and we began to look at a heroine in the faith, and her name was Esther. And we discovered that she was a real woman of courage, a real woman of prayer and obedience. And then we've moved on a little bit further again, and we've had a brilliant time. I certainly have had a brilliant time listening to the core leaders as they have brought a different hero every session, not just every week, every session. And we've got through people like Joshua, Joseph, Moses. Then we moved on and looked at the women and women ladies, Rahab, Mary, Abigail. And we have truly learned so, so much. It's been so rich, hasn't it? It's been so rich. It's been so enlightening. I learned things that I didn't know. I was inspired in areas that I never thought I would be inspired. So a massive round of applause and thank you to the core leaders. And we'll hear some more from them towards the end of the year. And in all of these heroes' stories, there have been some things that have jumped out at me, main attributes. I wonder if it's been the same for you. Courage, patience, supernatural strength, obedience. And that word that I think we're going to look at towards the end of the year, endurance. And we've seen that in all of these stories. These heroes of the faith, men and women. Now, because they're heroes, does that mean that they were perfect? Absolutely not. And we've seen that in the lives of all of these heroes that we've looked at. They weren't perfect. They weren't superhuman. They weren't Superman or Superwoman. They just believed in a supernatural God. They believed that God was with them. They believed that God would lead them. Do you believe the same? That God is with you and that God will lead you. And we have heard stories of God leading these men and women to victory. Many, many successful outcomes. You might have your favorites. Maybe it was when Grace was speaking on Joshua and how those, you know, walls of Jericho came tumbling down, or how they made it across the Jordan River. Or perhaps it was when Mary spoke on Rahab. And how she, and not just her, but her and her family were saved because of her courage led to another successful outcome. And you know what? That leads me very nicely onto our topic this evening. Put my teeth back in. Let me ask you a question. Question to ponder. You don't need to answer it aloud. Do you want to succeed in the things of God? Do you want to be a success for Jesus? Well, in order to be a success for Jesus, all we need to do is simply say yes. Everyone say yes. Yes. We want to succeed in the things of God. So this evening, we're going to look at success. That's what we're going to look at. We're going to look at how God can take ordinary men and ordinary women, like we've studied over the last few weeks, in fact, since the beginning of the year, how God can take ordinary men and women and he can do extraordinary things in and through their lives. That God can take ordinary women just like you and me and he can do amazing, extraordinary things in and through our lives. Do you believe it? Yes, we believe it. We think we believe it. That we have the potential for greatness. Inside of us, we do. You're not looking that convinced. And I actually can see you tonight. The lights aren't that bad. I can see your faces. That we have the potential for greatness inside of us. And in particular tonight, we're going to look at how God chose an ordinary man, an ordinary farmer, in fact, and he used him in a mighty way. And he didn't have all the things, all the resources, all the money that you think that it takes to be a success. In fact, all this man had was a piece of farming equipment. And I've preached on this before. But when we were preparing for this series and looking at the heroes, I thought how amazing it was that we were learning about these biblical greats. Joseph and Moses last week, how awesome that was. I don't know how she managed to do that. Have you seen the length of Moses' life and everything that Moses went through? And yet last week, Gabby somehow managed to take the best bits of his life and deliver it to us. But they're the greats, aren't they? They're the ones that we remember. But there are many. There are many. And this one, well, he's an unlikely hero. But I think he's a hero nonetheless. In fact, the man that we're going to look at isn't even mentioned that much in Scripture. Only once or twice. And it's only a little couple of verses. So we're going to look at success. And we're going to look at how God led this humble farmer to success. Your success in our world today is often measured by numbers and by figures. Successful men and women today are usually multi-billionaire businessmen and women, aren't they? Internet influencers, social media influencers. Well, this guy, he's none of those things. He's just a simple farmer. So who is our unlikely hero? Well, if we turn to Judges in the Old Testament, the book of Judges, in 3 verse 31 in the NIV, we read this. Shamgar. Everyone say Shamgar. He's our guy. Shamgar was the son of Anath. He was also the same man who successfully struck down and defeated 600 Philistines using an ox goad as a weapon. Here's your piece of farming equipment, an ox goad. I'll get to that in a moment. So straight away, we establish that God's people have come under attack once again. And once again, it's the same old enemy. It's the Philistines that are coming against God's people. Satan comes against God's people. And when you carry that anointing, which you do, we heard that last year, if you're walking with Jesus, you carry that anointing too. We heard that in the David series and the Redeemed series last year. But when you carry that anointing, we also heard last year that the enemy does not like it. And he will come at you. He will battle against you because he wants to rob you of your identity and steal your anointing. So he's the enemy that comes at us. Here it was the Philistines yet again. For us, it's the enemy that comes yet again. Only sometimes he just changes his hat. He just comes wearing different hats. But it's the same old enemy that keeps coming at us because he wants to keep us down. So here it's the Philistines. We read, though, in the Old Testament, as we've read many, many times, that God's children had turned their back on Yahweh. We heard all about that last year. In Hosea, in the story of David, God's people were continuing to turn their back on God, turning to idol worship. And they suffered. They suffered the consequences of stepping out of the will of God. And the people here in Shamgar's time were suffering the consequences of their own sin. We know, because if we pop back to Judges 3 verse 12, we read this scripture, and this is going to come back up again this year. The Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord. This was under Ehud, and Shamgar, he came after Ehud. Evil in the eyes of the Lord. Lord have mercy. I would never want to be described as a people who did evil in the eyes of the Lord. This was God's people that's been referred to here. So the first thing we read about Shamgar is he took on the opposition. Did you read that? Didn't run away from it. He took on. He took on the opposition. He faced the enemy and he won. Hallelujah. Great stuff there from a simple farmer. So what else do we know about him? Well, if we go to Judges 5 in verse 6, we read of the time in which this man lived. He lived at the same time, or around about the same time, as the prophetess Deborah. Have we heard of Deborah before? I wonder. In the days of Shamgar, son of Anath, in the days of Jael, the highways were abandoned and travelers took to winding paths. It was so dangerous. It was such a corrupt time that people took to the back roads. So there's not much documented about this man. That's pretty much it. He's pretty much unknown. He isn't listed in the Hall of Faith. He doesn't sit there alongside Abraham and Sarah and Hebrews chapter 11. He doesn't quite stand out like Moses and Joshua and Esther. Nonetheless, he was chosen by God and he was a success. So ladies, I'm calling him a hero of the faith. The story of Shamgar proves to us, and I hope it proves to you tonight, encourages tonight, that God can truly take ordinary people and he can do great things in and through our lives. He took an ordinary farmer. Not only did he save his life, but he used this ordinary farmer to save the lives of many, God's people. So what can we glean from the short verses that we've read so far about Shamgar? Well, it tells us there that he lived during the time of the reign of the prophetess Deborah. And according to Jewish history and tradition, it's thought that she lived sometime between 1107 and 1167. As the name of the book tells us, it's the book of the Judges. The book of Judges chronicles that time after the death of a successful leader and hero, Joshua. And he was our first man up, wasn't he? Grace brought, well, actually it was the third hero, but Grace brought Joshua to us a few weeks back. So Joshua was an incredible leader. He deserves that badge of hero, actually. So Joshua died. And this time in which we're talking about here, that chronicles the time after his successful reign, after his death, right up until the appointment of the first king, King Saul. We heard all about him last year. So there was a long period there where there was no king and there was no leader. And it's often referred to as a dark time in biblical history. And now let me tell you something. The reason why it was a dark time in our biblical history was because there was no leadership. There was no king. There was no Joshua leading the people, encouraging them to be obedient. It was a troubled time. Judges 21 verse 25 says, in those days, there was no king in Israel, and everyone did what was right in his own eyes. They were basically doing whatever they wanted, with whoever they wanted, without any consequences for anyone. No authority. It was a dark time. It was a time of corruption. It was a time of greed, selfishness, disobedience, and depravity. People were afraid. They were afraid to go out. It was corrupt. And God's people would cry out time and time again, God, save us. But they would not turn away from their sin. There was no stability in leadership. And I wonder, does it remind you of another time? Does it remind you of another time? Yes. When we turn on the news today, when we see the instability throughout the world, in politics, when we see people turning their back on a holy God and indulging in unholy practices, a world that's confused, a world that's afraid, a world where young women are or older women are afraid to go out and walk the streets at night on their own. Nothing has changed. There is no leadership today. If only they knew the leadership of the Holy Spirit, though. If only they knew. So a dangerous time. And God was looking in that dangerous time for men and women that would take a stand. Men and women that would step up. Men and women that would say, okay, this is a dark world, but I am prepared to be a light in this dark world. And God's looking for men and women today to do the same. To say it might be dark out there. It might be gloomy out there. It might be dangerous out there. Yeah, there might be people turning away from God and indulging in selfish practices and immoral practices. But do you know what? I'm going to be different. I'm going to be set apart. I'm going to be a light in the darkness. And maybe you're here and you're thinking, that sounds great. Maybe your heart's going, yes. I'd love to be that person. But maybe there's this wee doubt inside of you that makes you think, I can't do this because I'm too small. Maybe you think the world's problems are just too big and that you're too small. Maybe you feel insignificant. But let me tell you something. God can take folk that feel insignificant. He can take simple farmers and he can do great things. It's time to stop watching from the sidelines, ladies. It's time to stop being a spectator and get up and be a participant. Because God is calling you. He wants you. He wants you to get involved in being that light in the world. You know, when we turn on the TV, when we turn on the news and we see the state that this world is in, when we hear of young women in Iran being poisoned because all they want to do is go to school. Come on, how awful is that? when we turn on the news and we see wars throughout the world, when we see inequality in food supply, when that happens, that should bring us to our knees. So often we watch it and we go, oh, turn it off, I can't watch it. And I get that, I feel that way. But actually, when we see the world that we live in today and we become overwhelmed with these situations, what it should do is it should propel you to get your backside here on a Monday night or on a Wednesday morning at Abide if you belong to this church. If you don't belong to this church, that's okay too. Many represented at Women to Women. But get yourself along to your church's prayer meeting. And if you can't get out of your prayer meeting, phone a friend and the two of you pray together over the phone. Because when we look at the world that we're in today and it causes us to feel overwhelmed, but when that doubt comes in and it makes us feel insignificant, we need to rebuke that in the name of Jesus and say, no, God has given me a voice, remember? Because he wouldn't have given us a voice if he didn't want us to use our voice. So he's given you a voice. So use it. Pray. Pray. Now you may be thinking, God couldn't possibly use me. I'm just a ... And you can fill in the blanks. Haven't got time to fill the blanks in tonight. I usually give you scenarios, but ... And I'm sure our simple farmer felt exactly the same. I'm just a farmer. What do I have? I've not got tanks. I've not got battle weapons. Well, let's not spend any more time talking tonight about what he didn't have, right? And let's look at what he did have. Let's not waste time on that. So the enemy here is the Philistines. And maybe you're here, and as I said at the beginning, maybe there is a problem that keeps coming at you. Maybe there's a battle that you seem to be in, and that you just can't seem to get out of it. And the enemy keeps attacking you. Maybe it's your health. Maybe it's your family. Maybe it's your marriage. Maybe it's your friendships. Here, it's the Philistines. And they'd encroached upon Hebrew land from the seashore. And their aim was to plunder, to rob, to kill, to destroy, to rape the women, to take their stock. So what are you going to do? You're coming under attack. Maybe you're here tonight and you feel exactly that way. Okay, it's not the Philistines, but maybe you've come here to Women tonight and you feel under attack. Well, here's a few options for you. Run away. Run away. Run as fast as you can. Run away. Or give in. Give in, just submit there and then. Or you could just hope that somebody else is going to step up. So you run away, you give in, or just plead, please, somebody else. Anybody else. You know, sometimes people say, oh, this thing in the church, I really want to see this happening in our church. I wish somebody would just come in and lead that ministry. I wish somebody would just really step up and do it. I'm so frustrated with it. Maybe it's you. Maybe you're the person. Had something similar happen to me with a youth. Anyway, so you could run away, you could give in, you could hope someone else steps in. There's three options for you. I don't know about you, but I don't think that's what the women that God is calling at Women to Women to do. You could do this. You could recognize that you yourself have the potential for greatness inside of you, and that God is calling you by name, and he's calling you to step up, and he's calling you to get involved in building his kingdom. What about that option? Linda believes in that option. For the purpose of the tape, one lady in the house. What are you going to do? Okay, you could look around and you could think, well, why would God use little old me? Linda's not saying that. She's raring to go. Why would God use little old me? I'm not a mighty warrior. I don't have an army. You could imagine Shamgar saying some of these things. He didn't, though. What are you going to do? You're going to sit around complaining. We're good at that in the United Kingdom. Sit around complaining about what we don't have, and in doing so, allow the enemy to defeat you. Or you could use what you do have. Throughout Scripture, we see God using, leading ordinary men and women into victory, and not in the conventional ways, not using conventional things. Many did not have an army. Did you hear that? Many did not have an army. Many did not have the equipment that they think they needed. They just used what they had. Mary led us beautifully last week in Abigail. And I just thought to myself, God is so good because this just ties so beautifully and leads so beautifully into this. So what did they have? Well, take David. We learned so much about David last year. David was a wee boy, a wee shepherd boy. He was insignificant to his big brothers. They got all the cool jobs. He was just kicked out into the field. But when it came his turn, when it came his time to step up, what did he have? He had a little shepherd's bag filled with some stones, and he took his moment, he seized his moment, and he went up against the enemy that on that occasion were another Philistine, but this time a 9-foot giant called Goliath. And God led him in a supernatural way to victory. Then we have Abigail, who loved that last week, the wife of Nabal. We heard last week that she prevented bloodshed by going into her cupboard and taking out what she had. Couple of saurine loaves. Couple of war-beaten loaves of bread. And she used that. She used her charm. She used her beauty. I agree. She used her charm. She used her beauty. And she used her saurine loaves. And she prevented bloodshed. She did not have an army. She didn't even tell Nabal she was going to do it. She didn't even take Nabal's men. She went with her own servants and she prevented a war. Hallelujah. She used what she had. Moses, heard all about him last week. What did he have? He had a wooden staff. Nothing more than a walking stick made of almond wood. But let me tell you about that wooden staff. He used that wooden staff to strike the waters, and the waters parted. Hallelujah. The same staff that performed miracles in the desert. And Joseph, we heard about him from Corinne. What did he have? He had his dreams. And he held on to those dreams and into our success story today. And our hero, Shamgar, the little scripture that we have, tells us that he successfully struck down and defeated 600 Philistines using nothing but an ox goad as a weapon. An ox goad was a large, sharp implement that could be up to 10 feet long. I don't have one to show you as a prop. Don't have one of them lying around. But it was used to poke the cattle, wasn't it? It was just a piece of farming equipment that probably laid about his farm and he probably used day in, day out. So I wonder, let me ask you the question. What do you have? What do you have in your hand? What has God given you in your heart? What has he given you in your heart that breaks your heart? That stirs up a passion inside of you? That calls you, wakes you up, frustrates you to do something? To take a stand. Is it the refugee and the asylum seeker? Is it the homeless? Is it those families that need baby equipment like Clothed in Love provide them with? What stirs inside of you? What does your heart beat for? What has God already given you? It's time to take your stand. It's time to step up. Just as God called Shamgar, he's calling you for such a time as this to be a light in this world. Make a difference. Who wants to make a difference? I want to make a difference. I want everything that I do to make a difference for Jesus in our homes, in our community, in our workplace, and in our church. I'm going to take some water because I'm getting really excited. But we won't find the answer to success or how to grow and succeed in worldly measures and with worldly resources. So what can we learn from Shamgar about the secrets to succeeding in the things of God? Well, I've got 3 points. I'm looking at the time. 3 points to share with you tonight and how to succeed in the things of God. Number one, we've talked about a lot of this already. Number one, be available. Be available. Number two, use what you have in your hands. Use what you've got already. And number three, respond to the call of God in obedience. If God calls, we respond. So number one then, be available. You know, when God called me many, many, many years ago now, I didn't know what it was he was calling me into. I didn't know the finer details. I didn't know that one of the things that I would do would be to lead a women's ministry that would be very successful. I didn't know any of those things. I didn't know it was going to be called Women to Women. Didn't know I was going to become a pastor. Didn't know that I'd end up here in this church. Didn't know that I'd be standing here tonight. But he did call me. He did call me by name. And he did call me into something that I knew was big. I just didn't know what that was. I think one of the reasons why he doesn't tell you the finer details is because you would go for one of those other options, run away. Wouldn't you? I would have. Or, oh, somebody, choose somebody else. I'm not good enough for this. I did have a bit of that right enough over the years. Anyway, when he called me, right, all he asked of me was to make myself available. That's our first point. To make myself available. See, God's not looking for the finished article, aren't you glad? God's not looking for perfection. None of us are perfect. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. He's also not looking for you to bring a 3-point plan or a business proposal. Let me tell you something. He doesn't need that. He is God, the sovereign Lord, and he knows what he's going to do in and through your life, and he knows what he's got planned for you. So here's the thing. All he's looking for is a willing, obedient heart. All he's looking is for you to say, and we said it right at the beginning, yes, Lord. You know, that song was running through my head all week this week. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. That's all he's looking for from you. When God called Gabby to start the ministry that she leads, he just wanted her to say yes. Yes, Jesus. Tell me more. Yes, Jesus. And look at sowing together all nations. It's his plan. He is looking for you to be obedient. You know, Isaiah chapter 6, one of my favorites and very personal to me, around about that time when God was calling me by name. I took myself down to London. I went down to London and I was in HDB Church in Fulham. And I remember I was at the service. It was a Sunday night. I was at the back. I was on my own and I said, God, I know that you are calling me. I don't know what you're calling me to. I mean, I'm probably going back about 17 years now, right? I don't know what it is. I don't know what you're calling me to, but speak to me. Speak to me, Lord. And the minister that got up to speak was preaching on Isaiah chapter 6. Here I am, Lord. Send me. I am available for you. I don't know what it is you want to do with me, but I am available for you. And there was a basket. You see, I think the church that night were trying to get folk to respond financially. So they had a basket and people were to come and give. Here I am, God, here's a tenner. Here I am, God, here's 50 quid. But I tell you something, I responded and I came forward. And if I could have put myself in that basket, I would have. I would have put myself in that basket because that was me that night saying, God, here I am, send me, use me. You see, we get so busy with our lives, sometimes we miss out in these opportunities that God's got for our lives. We don't see them as opportunities because we can sometimes get so sidetracked and distracted by the world and our to-do list. You see, God can do great things in and through our lives. We just need to be still enough to hear what it is that he's saying. I'm not saying that you all need to go away to London for the weekend. Oh, that would be nice. I did that because I had two wee baby girls at the time and I needed to get away from my family just to hear God. And it was the only place I could go that was cheap because I could stay with my sister. I'm not suggesting you do that, but you could just go somewhere quietly. Sit in a park bench while the weather's good. Come into the church during the week while we've got activities on and come and sit at the cross if you like. I'm sure that would be fine. Just find a moment of quiet and the stillness with God. You will hear him. You will hear him speak. So number one, Shamgar made himself available. If you want to do great things for the kingdom of God, then you need to make yourself available. In order to do that, there are some things in your life that you're currently doing that you need to stop doing. Okay? Number two, moving on, the second point that we can take from this success story is that Shamgar simply used what he had. He didn't wait until he had an army of thousands to lead him into battle. He didn't have a storehouse filled with weapons. He just had what he had, an ox goat. And you don't need to wait until you've got it all together. You don't need to wait until you've got all the money. You don't need to wait until you've got all the resources. You just need to say yes to God. He just had a spear, an ox goat, something that this man probably used every single day. We don't need all the things that we think that we need in order to step into what God's got for us. Did you hear that? You don't need to wait. So many great ministries, let me tell you something, so many great ministries do not get off the ground, sadly, because people have sat about moaning, complaining about what we don't have. Oh, no. Can't he do that because we don't have a bouncy castle? Oh, no. Can't he do that because we don't have a band? So what? So you don't have a bouncy castle? What do you have? What else do you have? What are you good at? What can you do? Have you got a story to share? Have you got a testimony? Have you got a story of God's goodness? Use that. Share that. Be an evangelist. You may not have the money. You may not have the resources. I didn't have the money. I didn't have the money to start Women to Women. In fact, I lived in poverty for probably lived in poverty for 16 years trying to get this ministry off the ground. And that's probably not an exaggeration. Doesn't matter. God saw my heart. Mark's Gospel, chapter 6, verse 7 tells us when Jesus sent out the disciples, he told them and instructed them to take nothing but a staff for the journey. No bread, no bag, no money in their belt. All they needed was his word, his authority. And we struggle with that. Moses struggled with that. When God approached Moses in the wilderness, in the burning bush, when he told him, go back to Egypt, set the people free. What did he say? Oh, who me? Why me? I can't do that. I've not got what it takes, etc., etc. This is what Moses says to God. What does God say to Moses? Exodus 4, verse 2. What is that in your hand? Amen. And he says, well, this is what I've got. Well, Lord, I've got this shepherd's staff. God says, that'll do. Throw that to the ground. Moses obeys. The staff turns into a snake. Then it turns back into a staff again. The staff was the instrument that God used to turn the Nile into blood. It was a tool that God used to part the Red Sea and bring about many other miracles in the desert. We heard of one on Sunday. Oh, water's pouring out of rocks and everything. God will use what you already have, what you've got in your hand. Offer it to God tonight in faith and watch as he does the supernatural. Just as he did with the disciples, Jesus in Matthew's Gospel chapter 14, the disciples come to Jesus in a panic because of the multitude of people that are coming. And they're hungry. They've been listening to Jesus all day. They stupidly forgot to pack a packed lunch. So they're all starving and they're hungry. And they come to the disciples and they're moaning. I don't have this. I don't have that. But then Jesus says, okay, to the disciples, well, what do you have? Stop moaning. He doesn't actually say that, but I'm saying it. Stop moaning. What do you actually have? And we know the story. They have 5 loaves and 2 fish. What did they do? They offered that to God in faith. What does God do with what little that we have when we offer it to Him in faith? He has the power to supernaturally multiply it. Hallelujah. Amen. You know, these men, these disciples, they were just ordinary men. They hadn't even been to Bible school. They were fishermen. They were carpenters, tax collectors, just ordinary men God used in extraordinary ways. So, this evening, how do we succeed in the things of God? How do we respond to His call? Well, number one, you make yourself available. And number two, you use what you have. May I have permission to finish the third point? Thank you. So, the third point in this story of Shamgar, in point number three, is when God calls, we respond in obedience. You know, see, if He'd have said no there, I was still going to go. We respond in obedience. So often, we disqualify ourselves. We say, I'm too young, I'm too old, I'm too broken, I'm not educated enough, I'm not experienced enough, I don't have enough money, I haven't been a Christian long enough, I don't know the Bible inside out. You know, God doesn't call you because you've got it all together. Let me just tell you that. He doesn't call you because you've got it all together, because none of us do. None of us have got it all together. He doesn't call you because you've been to Bible college. Okay? Jesus called His disciples because He saw the potential within them. And even when He called them, they weren't even there yet. They were hopeless. But He saw the potential within them. You know, they weren't in the business already of being disciples. They weren't in disciple school. They didn't go, I'm just going to rock on down to that disciple school that sits on the Sea of Galilee, and I'm going to go and interview some of those students that go to that college there. No way. They didn't know how to be a disciple. Jesus called them, the Egypts that they were at the time, and they just obeyed. They followed. Actually, they're no Egypts. They're incredible. Because when Jesus called them, they gave up everything. And they just followed. You know, one of my favorite examples of this is found in 1 Kings chapter 19. And it's the story of the prophet Elisha. And I haven't got time to go into his story. But let me remind you of his calling. You know, when God called Elisha, He sent the prophet Elijah to go and call him. And to throw over his cloak, which was the mantle, which meant this is your covering, this is your anointing, God has called you, He's got plans for you. And as soon as Elijah turned up, Elisha was in the field, another farmer. And he did that, he did exactly what God told him to do. He threw the mantle over him, He called him, that was his anointing. What's interesting is what the prophet Elisha does when he's called. It says in that passage, I want you to read that for your homework. It says that he goes and says goodbye to his family, his mum and his dad. He says cheerio to them. He doesn't say to them, oh, come on, we'll have a big party and we'll have a big fattened whatever pig and then we'll maybe hang out for another couple of days before I go. He doesn't do that. He just says, I'm off. A bit like the fishermen did when Jesus called Peter and John and Andrew. That's really interesting to me, that he just responds immediately. But you know what's even more interesting? He burns his plough. He burns his crop. We're going to come to that. He completely responds to the call of God in obedience. No faffing. That's not a biblical term, but no faffing about. What do we also learn about his response when God calls? Well, he didn't waste any time asking 1,000 questions. We heard that in the story of Mary, the mother of Jesus, which was so beautifully told by Susan a few weeks ago. When God called Mary to that amazing position of the mother of Jesus, she simply responds, may it be to me, Lord, according to your will. She did not ask a million questions, which I think I would have. And neither does Elisha. He doesn't ask, what does the job entail? He doesn't ask, what it will look like in 5 years? He doesn't even ask for the job specification. Did you see that? He just simply says, yes. Then back to the interesting thing about burning the plough. Why did they burn the plough? Surely that was an awful waste. Well, I've thought about this. I've read commentaries on this. And here's the one that I'm sticking with. It's so that there's no plan B. You see, when God calls and we obey and we step out in obedience and we say, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, right, we do all that, right? It's so that we can't go, no, Lord, no, Lord, no, no, Lord, in a week's time when going gets tough, there's another song. There's no plan B. It's Jesus or nothing. It's Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. We don't go back. There's nothing back there for you. There's nothing good back there for you. If you've given your life to Jesus, Jesus is on the move. And he lives in you, which means that you're on the move. And you're running your race. We're not going back. So when it going gets tough and it stops being sunny and it's a bit miserable and it's a bit bleak and there's no butter in the fridge and there's no money in the bank, you can't go, oh, I've changed my mind, God. I don't want to serve you. There's no plan B. It's Jesus or nothing. You're either in or you're not. You either believe that Jesus died to set you free or you don't. You either believe that God's got a mighty purpose for your life or you don't. You either step into the plans that God's got for you or you can malander out there in the world. So let's return to Shamgar, because I've really run out of time. He, his family, God's people are under attack. What are you going to do? Shamgar, the simple farmer, took responsibility. I'm reading the notes so I don't go off script. He was an ordinary farmer, but he believed in an extraordinary God. He didn't complain. He didn't come with a list of complaints about being a farmer and not good enough or moan about what he didn't have. He simply made himself available. He used what he had in his hand. And when God called him, he responded. He responded in faith. He does not go down in Bible history. In fact, some of you may never have. In fact, raise your hands if this is the first time you've heard of him. Nearly everybody. Okay, so he doesn't go down in Bible history as one of the greats. You don't hear about him often. He isn't preached very often. The last time he was preached about was by me in this church not that long ago, a couple of years ago. Okay? However, what he did do, let me tell you something about what he did do. What he did do had an impact. What he did do meant something to the people around him. I've got goose pimples. It meant something to the people around him. What you do might not be seen by everybody. Your pastors might not even, or pastor, if you've only got one pastor, we're so blessed that we could do it. But your pastors might not even know what you do for God. Your family might not know the sacrifices you make for the kingdom of God. But let me tell you something, and we heard it Abide on Wednesday. God sees. Because he is El Roy, the God who sees. And let me tell you something. See that thing that you do in his name? It does impact. See, when you're kind to that homeless person on the street, Lisa, it does matter. It matters to that homeless person. See what you do when you're serving in your ministries. It matters. It matters to the children that you teach in Sunday school, Fiona and Shona. The work that you put in there, it matters. You might think to yourself, the mums and dads don't even see what we do in Kids Connection because they're too busy in the sanctuary enjoying themselves. Hands in the air, praising God while we look after their snottery wains. I know that you don't think that way. But let me tell you something. God sees. He sees the impact you make. He sees what you pour into your projects. Did you see that? He sees that. He sees the kind word that you offered the person in the bank queue. He saw that man whose coffee you paid for. He sees it all. Doesn't matter if no one else sees it. So this man's not going to go down in Bible history. Just a simple farmer making a simple contribution. It may not hit the headlines and be listed in the Hall of Faith, but it made a difference. It made a difference. And God, who is able to do immeasurably more than we can ever imagine, He can take what seems like defeat in our lives and he can turn it around and turn it into an amazing, successful victory. Everyone, as well as Linda, say amen. Amen. So are you ready, ladies? Last slide. Are you ready to be a success for God and do mighty works in his name? Be that light in this dark world to make a difference, because you are the difference. You are the one standing in the gap. So ladies, this is our last hero of the season, and he's an unlikely one, but I believe he's a hero nonetheless. And I believe that God is calling all of us to run our race here and now for such a time as this and be his heroines. And if you're ready to be a success for Jesus, would you stand with me now? Almighty God, we bring ourselves right now. We present ourselves before the throne of grace and mercy as living sacrifices. We come simply as we are, Lord God, flawed, sinners, tired, overwhelmed, scared, broken, filled with doubt at times, but we believe in you. So Lord, accept us as we are. We present ourselves before you. Forgive us of our sins. Equip us and fill us up with your strength, with your power. Give us your tools. We open up our shepherd's bags tonight and we say, Lord, give us what we need. If it's compassion for others, if it's more time, if it's more patience, if it's financial, if it's resources, Lord, fill us up with what we need for what we need to do for you. Lord, we want to be used by you. We want to be led to victory. We want to see success. We want to impact other people's lives. Lord, we're making ourselves available to you tonight. And if you believe that, say yes, Jesus. And Lord, for anyone tonight who feels like they're in a battle, like Shamgar, Lord God, I pray that you would equip them right now with everything they need. Exodus 14, I think it is, says, the Lord fights for you. You need only be still. So Lord, equip your children with what they need for wherever they are in their life right now. We thank you for Women to Women. We thank you for the way that you're teaching and enlightening and inspiring women to develop and nurture a closer relationship with you. We're grateful for the success of this first half of the year. And Lord God, we look forward to more, the greater, in which you said that we will do in your name. So Lord, as we go our separate ways now, I pray the peace of God that surpasses all human understanding, that would guard the hearts and minds of my dear sisters now, truly in the love of Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Please go in peace. Come back next week. We've got some great time of praise and worship and revival.